How are we doing today?
Well appreciated, good. All right, that's great. Hopefully that doesn't change in the next little while. So, if you guys remember, the last time I was with you, it was last year, and we spoke in James 1, and I thought, well, took a little note out of Brian's page, we'll just keep going in James. Make it simple, right? So, if you guys have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in James chapter 1 this morning. I'll be focusing in on verses 19 to 27. I'll be referencing some that came previously and some that goes beyond. So James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. James is one of the last few books of the Bible. It goes Hebrews, James, Peter's, John's, Jude, Revelation. So, are we there? Great. Let's pray really quick before we dive into the Word. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for all the faces and the souls that are here. And we pray, Father, that you would be working in us as you are working in our world. In the world that you created, in the world that you have put us in, I pray, Lord, that we would seek you above it all. Amen. All right, so as we're getting started today, main point, lay it out for you. I'm going to have you guys repeat it to me often. Simple, four words. Six words. Know the word, do the word. Say it with me. Know the word, do the word. All right. James chapter 1, verse 19. Let's start. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So James starts this section with a simple command. Know this. And the first thought is, okay, what are we supposed to know, James? Well, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Yes, but in the broader context, he's going to be talking about knowing the word. Say that. Know the word. Thank you. We have to know a lot of things in life. Whether you're a child, in kindergarten through fifth grade, you're learning your ABCs, your 1, 2, 3s, or you're in middle school and high school, and you're trying to learn more social things and upping it up to, well, some of you students, calculus yet? You college students, getting ready to go back to school or start it for the first time, and oh, how to be independent and how to do things on my own and starting to learn that. And we have to know things. Anybody's mom or dad ever tell them, hey, you need to know this? And then you weren't paying attention. And then all of a sudden you find yourself sprawled out on the floor because they said, hey, you need to know this. The floor's really wet over there. And so you start running and a little cartoon slip. We need to know a lot of things. Sometimes we're driven by survival. You know, don't slip and fall. Oh, don't eat the red poisonous berries, Josh. That's bad for you. Give you stomachache. Or you need to know your ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. You need to know taxes. You need to know how to talk to people. We have to know a lot of things in life. Amen? James is telling us we need to know the word. First and foremost, above all, stop what you're looking at, stop what you're hearing, and know the word. And it's really easy, I think, for us to do the reverse of James's command here. It's easy to be quick to speak and quick to anger and really hard to slow down and listen to the word. And we need to listen to the word of truth. We need to listen to what God has to say. We're moving so fast, we're so busy, that we often forget to listen to the word. Even now, nationwide, maybe an hour before, an hour behind us, this is typically the preaching church kind of hour, yeah? But man, in about 20 minutes from now, I'm going to forget about the hour because I'm getting hungry. So what are we doing for lunch? Or my phone dings. Or I'm wondering about the chores I have to do when I get home. Is it laundry day? Is the dog gone out? Have I made my phone call to grandma yet this week? Right? And we're so quick with all the things going on in the world that we forget, man, this is our church hour and I'm struggling to focus in on the word right now. And so we need to be quick to listen. Quick to listen to the word of God. slow down and hear what he has to say. It's easy when we have softball or basketball or football or baseball or insert ball here. All of the sports. Oh, I got to get ready for that game. Football's starting up, basketball's going on, whatever's going on. I don't know. I'm not up. Olympics, right? Oh, what's happening this morning? What's happening tonight? And we focus on that. Or, man, I'm really tired because I was out with my friends last night and I was super busy and I'm just kind of going too quick, and that's what I'm focused on my life. So you know what? I might not remember to know the word this morning or last night or in the days to come because I have other things that I'm prioritizing. But how often and how joyous is it when we finally get to come together and we get to know the word together, we get to work through the word together, and we get to say, that was a good point. And other times it's, well, what do you mean by that point? That didn't make sense. If that happens, ask me later, please, because that might, yeah. So we need to know the word. That's the first thing James is telling us. Okay, so I've said, what do you need to do? All right, Pastor Josh, what do we need to do? We need to know the word. Okay, how do we do the word? How do we know the word? James gives us the answer very quickly. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Scripture says to be slow to anger. I want to focus in on that. Slow to anger. I think it's especially hard to be slow to anger when we're going too quickly in our lives. I've had a couple incidents in the last year. I think I was doing some math, and I've been in physical therapy for 8 months out of the 14 I've been here. And some of that is because I just was going too quick, you know, running on the frisbee field, trying to dive to get a frisbee for no reason than pride and competition, and now you can't use your left arm to drive anymore for a couple months. Not fun. Just being too quick. Quick to doing what I want to do, not thinking about the other things that are going on. Or anybody like to cook? It's not a good idea to cook when you're sleepy and tired or a little angry, because then you're slicing on the, what is that called, a mandolin? And you got your onion and you're going, and all of a sudden you lose the tip of your finger. And it grows back, thankfully, but you have to throw out those onions because you can't find the tip of your finger in there. All because you're just going too quick. And how often when we're angry and we're moving too quick does the belt loop get snagged on a door handle? Or how quickly do we stub our toe and something else happens because we're moving so quickly and we're not slowing down and taking the time and breathing and saying, what do I need to be doing right now? Do I know God in this moment? It might be a small, simple moment folding the laundry. Small, simple moment at the grocery store. But how easy is it for us to get frustrated in those times and to be quick to anger and letting something happen and set us off, and it just ruins the next hour of our day, whole day. We rub somebody else the wrong way, and we snap at our kids, or we snap at our spouse or our parents, right, teens? Just be quick. What's he say? To hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to respond, slow to snap, and slow to anger. Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to, say it with me, know the word. Quick to what? Know the word. Be quick to, thank you. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. That's how we do, how we know the word, and why. Why do we know the word? What's the point? Is it not justified that I get to be the first in line? Is it not justified that if we're all driving the same direction, I don't have to let somebody merge in? He can get behind me. I got places to be. Is it not right that I waited in this line? Nobody is allowed to cut. I don't care that they're family. Right? Oh, the 8-year-old had to go to the restroom? He's got to wait in the back. No. Is it not true that we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger? And why do we do that? Because the anger, verse 20 says, for the anger does not produce the righteousness of God. We're doing so much and we have so much to do that we are wound tight. Everything sets us off. And we can't let people merge in front of us. We can't let people get in front of us in line. We don't let others in and we push them out because we're focused on what I want, what I feel, my desires. And one of the practical ways, to give you a real easy application, practical way of slowing down is to not have so many other things going on. Don't squeeze God out of your life and out of your heart by allowing everything else to come in. James tells us that the reason is because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So why do we slow down? Because God demands and has for us a righteous and holy and pure life, and anger does not lead us there. The Proverbs gives us a couple of explanations about the importance of being slow to anger, so I thought I'd give you three. If you know them off the top of your head, props to you, but I didn't know them all, so you're a better Christian than I am. A lot of people know Jeremiah 29:11, and it's a great verse. If you want to memorize the 29:11, I encourage you, Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. Now, some of you guys might be a little too old to understand this, but we'll see. Ever heard the term, I just need to vent? I just need to let it out. I just need to vent. I need to get everything out there so I can move on and move forward. And what they mean by that is I'm just going to blow up in a controlled way. And I'm just going to let all of my emotions out, everything that I'm thinking and I'm feeling, I'm just going to let it all out and not think about how it comes out. It's just going to come out. And oftentimes it does help that person. You know, they get it out of their chest and they talk through things, but it solves nothing. So they blow up and they move on, but then they look behind them and there's nothing but destruction and ruined relationships and hurt feelings, because all of a sudden it became, I need a vent, and oh my goodness, Pastor Brian is so annoying, and no, oh, where's he at? He gave me a, okay. We vent and we ruin relationships because we're giving way to our emotions and our anger. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. He who controls and rules and is slow to anger is a mightier man than he who is strong. And one who is slow to anger is better than the governor of a nation. Being in control of yourself, being slow to speak and slow to anger is better than being the king of America, the king of the world even. And our third, Proverbs 17:27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. It's proactive. Well, okay, you've told me I need to be wise, and part of that means being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. So what does that look like? Using words with restraint and being even-tempered. A lot of us have that person that we can kind of think of sitting in the rocking chair and just having a glass of sweet tea on the porch, and think of that as a wise old, that's at least what I think of. When I think of a wise old man, all right, he's got a pocket knife and an apple. He's got his rocking chair and Just sitting on the porch, watching the sun go down, or watching a storm come in. That's what I think of. That's not always the case, but the man that uses restraint. He doesn't get angry when his kid hands him a size 10 wrench instead of a size 9. A dumb thing to get angry about. A man or woman who doesn't get angry with their spouse because, well, the man would probably do this. They put their clothes on the floor instead of in the hamper, right? Or they put the dishes on the sink instead of in the dishwasher. They don't get angry, but instead they use their words with restraint. Why didn't you just put it in the dang dishwasher? Why put it in the hamper? Hey, dear, I'd really appreciate it if... Hey, I appreciate you and I love you and I want to help, make this a good house. Can you help me do that by putting it in here, please? Using our words with restraint. We so easily forget to do that in today. As America, we forget to use restraint in our speech. We have freedom of speech, right? Let's use it to share the gospel. Let's use it to proclaim Christ and share love, and not whatever my spirit wants to give full vent to. An angry spirit, church family, is never a listening, never a teachable spirit. And anger stops us from having the life that God demands for us, that He made the way for. And anger stops us from listening and learning, and anger prevents us from transforming our lives into godliness and into holiness. Because we get so hung up. And how joyous is it when you get to start thinking, for me it's that old man on the rocking chair with sweet tea and an apple, getting to spend time with him. Makes me smile. Getting to spend time with the wise. Getting to be among people who are loving and teachable, and quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to anger. Those are the kinds of people we want to be around, right? So let's be those kinds of people and continue in going that direction. Our two main points today, what were they? Know the word, do the word. So transition. I didn't want to build one in, so transition. Know the word, now we do the word. Verse 21. James says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So therefore, put it away. What are we putting away? James says here, filthiness, rampant wickedness. I call this moral defilement. Every form of behavior that is not befitting of somebody who knows the word. Put that away. Being quick to listen is being quick to take off what is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Putting away all filthiness and immorality in life. The word of God works not in filthy soil, but in good soil. And I say soil because I want to hopefully jog another scripture in mind. Matthew chapter 13. You can turn there if you'd like. You don't have to. But we're just going to walk through the parable that Jesus has explained to a crowd. So Jesus is with to people and explaining the sower. A sower is a person who plants seeds. And in this parable, the sower throws some seeds, and some of the seeds fall along the path. Not where they're supposed to be. They get eaten up by the birds. And then some of the seeds, they fell into rocky soil. And so it gets planted, but really, really shallow because all the rocks are stopping it from the roots from really going deep. And the plant shoots up, but because it has shallow roots and gets no nutrients and gets no water, it gets burnt up by the sun. And then some more seeds, they're planted, but they're planted among other things, thorns that and weeds that choke out the plant. Now you can choose whatever plant you want. It could be a hydrangea or a tulip, or it could be apples and grapes, whatever. The point of it being, if you're not planting it in good soil and good ground and good dirt, it doesn't take root. It gets eaten by the birds, it shoots up and dies, or it gets choked out by everything else around it. But there are some seeds that the sower throws out, and they take root in good soil. And when that takes root and blossoms, it yielded 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what was planted. Church family, filthiness is what chokes out the word. Filthiness is what makes our hearts turn into infertile soil. Letting other things in aside from the word, aside from God, takes everything that we have in Christ and starts to make us miss it. It starts to choke it out. It starts to remove us farther and farther away from the good soil, the good heart, found only in the Word. So cleanse the heart, and in humility receive the Word. Take the Word, allow it to root itself in you. Read the verse with me again. Verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 14 as well teaches us, if you look back, James 1:14, that we are led into temptation by our own weaknesses and our own desires. It shows us that this is what has power, because it is of God, to save our souls. Yes? Let's think about that for a second. The Word is what is able to save our souls, and it's implanted within us. Is this book literally inside of my chest? No, right? That would be a medical problem. If this isn't, yeah, okay? The Word that we read, that we meditate on, that we allow to saturate our minds and work in our hearts, this is what saves our souls. Why? Because it comes from God, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Christ, the Word incarnate. He saves our souls. The Holy Spirit, He works in our hearts to produce His fruit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit that is planted in us is that of God. It is the Spirit. It is Christ. And it grows to yield fruit, more and more and more fruit. And the only way we can have that is by, what's our main points? Know the Word, do the Word. So, how do we go about doing all this? How do we go about doing this Word? We need to listen to obey. Verses 22 to 25. It says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Hearing must be followed by obedience. I was probably 11 or 12, and it was in an organization called Flock. I don't know if that's still around or not, but there was a little song that we would sing almost every Sunday. It was O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. So obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. If you're a parent, you probably know this already, but there's a difference between hearing and listening. Yeah? Kids, if you're like me as a kid, you already know that your mom and dad tell you there's a difference between hearing and listening. You can be sitting on the couch, watching a show, playing a game or whatever, and you can hear your mom from wherever she's at in the house just yell, "Last one, wrap up, you're going to go to bed or dinner or whatever, and you need to wash up." And you hear her, you say, "Uh-huh." And then 15 minutes go by, or 20, or 25, whatever it is. And then your mom walks in. And what are you doing? The same thing you were 15, 20 minutes ago. Sitting there, just watching, entertained by what's on the screen, and letting that be the thing that you're focused on. You heard your mom, but did you listen? No. Listening would have been action, would have had obedience tied to it. Instead of just sitting there, watching your show, whatever it is. What's a show? Jonathan. Okay. Do you watch Pokemon? No. Okay, whatever. We're going to say Blue's Clues. So, you're watching Blue's Clues. Got a letter, wonder who it's from. Okay, it's your mom telling you to go get ready for bed. And then 20 minutes later, you're still just sitting there doing that in disobedience, showing that you do not listen to your parentals. Hearing must be followed by obedience. This is what it means to do the word. The word is what we hear. And it must mature and bear fruit. And that looks like obedience. So, there's an illustration here. How many of us have planted a garden or anything in the past? Though this year or years before? Raise your hands. No, keep them up. I'm trying to get a... Let's see here. Predominantly... Okay, predominantly moms and some men. All right, cool. Good to know. What's the point of planting a garden? Is it just to plant? Is it just to plant stuff? No. Right? If you plant 100 tomato plants, and all of you think it's bad, and you don't yield one tomato, we're going to be a little upset, right? The point of planting is to yield a harvest. The word is implanted in us. God, our Lord and our Savior, has planted it within us. And we are meant to bear fruit, to yield a harvest and give it to Him. James here, we're going to read our next bit, our refresh on this, 22 to 25, gives us a little comparison. And I'm going to tell you there's the fool and the Christian. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So James pictures a man who looks at himself in a mirror, and as soon as he turns away, forgets what he looks like. That is a silly thing, right? He looks in the mirror. If I would go to the mirror in the bathroom over there and my hair was out of place, or I had food in my teeth, or if I was a little bit younger, and some of you teens in the next few years, there's a big old whitehead zit that needs popped. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh, that needs attending to. I need to fix this up. And I just went about the rest of my day on my first date with my fiance, right? That'd probably be a bad idea, yeah? You look in the mirror, why? To know what needs fixed. To know what's needing attention to. James is telling us that this, the Word of God, is our mirror. Through the Word, we can see ourselves, how angry we get, and how we choose to love ourselves so quickly over loving others and over God. And we know what we do. We know the issues that we have. but we choose not to correct it. The man that hears what God says about his life and identifies the problem, but walks about his life making no changes and forgets all the flaws, is the fool. The problem with us Christians, or the problem with the world, is not that we get angry at our kids, leaving Legos out, spilling their drinks. The problem is not that our parents said no to us and then we're mad at them, or that I'm upset with my singleness, unsatisfied with my present life. It's not that my spouse did this or that, but the problem is our own hearts. Some of you have gone through the counseling training, or some of the youth, you guys, we've said it this time and again. Say it with me if you know it. The problem is not the problem. The heart is the problem. We come and worship God on Sunday mornings, and we hear what we are meant to do. The Word exposes our hearts and our lives and how we don't do what it says. I will tell you, hearing is not salvation, church family. Amen? Listening to the Word, obeying the Word, is what changes us from death to life. The seeds that flew by the wayside are the seeds that the gospel was said and rejected immediately. The seeds that were planted in the rocks had shallow roots. Sure, I believe Christ, and then I know nothing about him. I know not his word. I know nothing of his character. And I have a shallow faith, so when heat comes into my life, when circumstances of life are hard and they cause issues, my faith shrivels up and dies. Or maybe I am a Christian, and I was planted and I've grown, but I'm getting choked out by all the weeds and letting all the other things in life take place where the word needs to be. Whatever it is, sports or school, jobs, are all important. Amen? Have a healthy life. You can exercise daily. Have a good diet. Spend time cooking and prepping your food. Use the restroom when you need to. It's funny, but true. And you need social time. Healthy life, yeah? Have it balanced. Can you not afford 15 minutes with the Lord a day? We need food and exercise and people and rest to have a healthy physical life with taking care of the body that God has given us. We need time with the Lord and knowing his word to have a healthy, eternal life. We need to know the word and do the word. The Christian, we have the fool and the Christian. By contrast, is the one who keeps looking in the mirror and keeps doing the word. The Christian sees his or own heart and seeks to change it. I yelled because I'm selfish. I listen first and gently ask questions later. I kept quiet because I'm just going to stew in my bitterness and my anger. I seek to understand and grow in unity with the church in maturity. Or I walk away from the church because I don't feel like the church is my friend and my family. I pursue Christ more deeply than ever. Christ is here, first and foremost in our lives, and we're here. And if we're pursuing Christ more and more and more, and everybody else comes alongside and pursues Christ more and more and more, where do we meet at? Christ. When we pursue Christ together, we get closer together. We can have differences. We can have interests and hobbies that don't go together. But if we're pursuing Christ, knowing his word and doing his word, we will grow. We will grow in our faith. Verse 14 of James 1. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We can choose to Christ, or we can choose me. When I choose me, that plants a different seed. a seed of selfish desire of greed. And when that produce, when that matures, it grows into sin. And when that matures fully, death. Or the word the Lord has planted in me grows, and I have salvation and love and the fruit of the Spirit. I have faith, and I have life. The Christian is always studying the law of liberty, the Word of God, our Bibles. We are slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. We put away the filth, and we get some good, clean dirt in our hearts. All to produce faith. This is our last point today. Know the word, do the word. It leads to faith. And faith produces two things from our passage today. A controlled tongue is our first one. Verse 26. If anyone is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. A religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. A person who does not control their tongue shows that what they believe is meaningless. We all have a friend or family member, perhaps, or we've heard somebody that just likes to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, right? And we've learned we can kind of tune it out a little because they're not saying anything of substance. Now, hopefully you're not doing that right now, but yeah, we'll see. And the people that do that same thing with their faith show that what they believe is meaningless. If we are flippant to talk about our faith, if we are flippant in how we speak about our God and our Savior, or if we're just flippant in how we speak as a Christian, what does that show everybody else? That my faith, my God, is flippant and meaningless. And so, faith, knowing the word and doing the word, leads to having a controlled tongue. Later on in James, he talks about the need to control the tongue. It's actually coming up in like the next two chapters, chapter 3. And he brings up some illustrations. How a bit in a horse's mouth, tiny little thing, controls where this beast goes. Or how a tiny rudder of a ship that might be as long as my arm control something bigger than this room. Or how a tiny little spark can set a whole forest ablaze. Our tongues are tiny things, but they control the course of where we go. And faith, knowing the word and doing the word, leads to a controlled tongue. We don't slip into gossip and slander, lying and anger. We wouldn't call it that. You wouldn't call somebody aside and say, hey, let me gossip with you for a second. You'd say, spill some tea. That's a youth thing. Or it might sound like, can you come here? Hey, we need to be praying for Pastor Dan because Pastor Brian is so annoying. We love Pastor Brian. It's gossip and slander. Could they be that you were just being honest, telling it like it is? Or are you just speaking harshly? Not speaking with salt and love, being gracious in your speech. Read verse 19 again. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. And know the weight that your words affect your Christian testimony to everybody else. Second thing that knowing the word and doing the word produces is care for others. Our Father cares for us. Amen? That's right. We already care for others. James goes on and talks specifically about orphans and widows as being the most helpless people in Jewish society, people who didn't have anybody to provide for them or to protect them. And the scriptures are peppered with calls to care for these people. Isaiah 1:16 and 17, 1 John 3:17 and 18, if you want to go look it up. James's point here is to be a doer of the word. Do something to help those in need. And it doesn't matter if they're here in our local church body. I would hope that we seek to help them. But the body across the world, whether that's the Phillips and their mission or another one that we know of, do something to act in your faith by knowing and doing the word. It is a joyous thing to get to do that together. Some of my fondest memories are service projects. Getting together, and I'll give a report on this next week, going to Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago now? Something like that. And getting to just work with the teens, serving a camp, being with a couple other leaders, serving together, so that the word of the Lord can be shared more. If you have an opportunity to go on a mission trip, yes, absolutely go. If you can't go somewhere else in the world or somewhere in the States, do it right here. Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples where? Of all the nations. Is Kokomo, Indiana part of the nation? Yes, it is. Drive a half hour, talk to someone. We know the word and we do the word because we have faith. And faith is what binds us together in love. Knowing God together by knowing him and making him known. The application for this passage is versatile and endless. It might be later today when the kids are being loud and everybody's hungry. Are you going to respond as the word commands? Youth, maybe when you're at school here soon, whether you're going into first or 15th grade. Will you talk poorly about other students or the teachers? Or will you be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger? And maybe all of us, when we're out of line at the store, a restaurant, or traffic, well, we'll be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger then. Brothers and sisters, let us encourage one another in doing that today. Help one another by setting the example. And I didn't plan this, but one caveat. We also aren't to call one another out when we have a log in our own eyes, yeah? Set the example. Don't condemn. Because we're all children of one God. We're in one body, one spirit, one mind. And we get the privilege of working together to see him. And we can do that both in relationship with one another and in, what's our main point? Knowing the word, doing the word. Let's do that together today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again just for our time this morning. We pray that you would be at work, that we would see how you are working in our hearts and in our minds, that you would help us, Lord, to know you, to make you known, and to do your word. Help us, Father, today as we go about loving one another well. Help us to put you first and foremost, knowing that the first greatest commandment is to love you and to love others. Amen.